You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
This is our Father we're talking about. You know, normally, I don't, Mother's Day, I just keep preaching whatever we're on, and I'll preach on resurrection, I'll preach on Christmas. But it turned out here we are on Father's Day, and I've been teaching on God is good, devil's bad. Are you out there? That God's not your problem, he's your answer. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but if something bad's going on, it's not God. He's not teaching you something. He doesn't have a plan or a purpose for it. And he didn't ordain it and predestine it and fate it to be in your life. In fact, the world as it is right now is not in the will of God. And what's going on in the world for the most part is not the will of God. And the only reason I know this is because that's what God says. Hallelujah. Are you out there? The idea that God is in control of the world and everything that happens is what he wills and what he desires and what he ordained is foreign to the scripture, because the Bible tells us the world's messed up. It tells us it lies in wickedness. It tells us it's evil. It tells us that Jesus even prayed that God would not take us out of the world, but that he would deliver us from the evil that is in the world. Are you with me? Now think about it. So that means there's a lot going on in here. It's not God. And we got to quit blaming God for things that the Bible says is not God. And we got to quit trying to make some sense out of tragedy and some sense out of pain and some sense out of loss when you can't make sense out of it. You know, maybe one day I'll learn what this is all about. No, you won't, because a lot of things that happened God didn't do to start with. And there's no lesson to learn. It was just a bad deal. I hate it. You hate it. God can comfort you. God will give you peace. And when we get to heaven, hallelujah, we'll never have to deal with that mess again. Thank you, Jesus. Are you with me? What's wrong with the world is sin. What's wrong with the world is the sin of Adam. What's wrong with the world is the devil. If you don't understand their devil, you don't believe in a devil, you're going to have a hard time accounting for evil in the world. You'll be forced to try to make some good out of everything that happens, and it just can't, it won't happen. It can't, you can't make good out of the Holocaust. You can't make a lesson out of 6 million Jews that were killed under Hitler. You can't make him an instrument of God. He was in direct rebellion to God. Are you with me? And what he did was evil and wrong and against the will of God. And that's what's wrong. That's the world we live in. We live in a world where people can do evil, and they do. And people too can do good. Hallelujah. And we do. Praise God. And there is some good for all of us who obey God and people who do what God says to do. That's good. And we should attribute everything to the providence of God and the goodness of God. That's good. But we don't attribute evil to God because it's bad. Are you out there? It's not deep. It's not complicated. It's not some mysterious theology that we've got to reconcile good God, evil world. No, the world's evil because of sin. The Bible tells us that story. It tells us what happened. It tells us about the devil. It tells us that he has control. He actually is ruling a lot of things in our world. Not forever. He didn't make the world. He doesn't own the world. God made the world, and God owns the world. But there's a period of time here where it was turned over to man, and man turned it over to the devil, and we're in that period of time. We're in that interim time. That lease. The earth's been leased out, you know. As it were, man was put on charge of the world, and man gave that charge over to the devil and served the devil. Remember when the devil came to Jesus, and he said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you authority over all these kingdoms. All the kingdoms of the world, for they have been delivered to me. Luke 4 chapter tells us that. So he actually had authority. Jesus calls him the prince of this world. And Paul calls him the God of this world, little g, not the creator, but the one that's ruling. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, the Bible says. So you don't need to be afraid of him, because in Christ we have power over him. Amen. In Christ we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. Hallelujah. I'm not under that power anymore. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer.
Amen.
Amen. I can overcome what I used to have to do. I just couldn't help myself. But now I can overcome Amen. What used to overcome me.
Amen.
I'm of God now, and I've overcome the world.
Hallelujah.
This is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith. Jesus said this. He said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. And James says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you.
That's right. Amen.
So we are lights in a dark place. We're not in heaven. The world is, there's a rebellion going on. There's a civil war going on, as it were. The devil's rebelling against God, and mankind's rebelled against God, and you and I have chosen Jesus and been born again. Now we shine our lights in a dark place. Now the world wasn't made dark. God created light and shined the light and saw that it was good, but something happened and it's not good anymore. And now the whole world lies in darkness, the Bible says. God didn't do that. But we're here and we're lights shining in that dark place. And Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Good stuff. Amen. Matthew 6, notice what it says, and we all know this prayer. You probably prayed it many times yourself. Anybody's been in battle? Anybody's been over in any kind of a conflict or war in Vietnam, Japan, or, you know, any of those conflicts, Korea, and World War II, and we still have people still alive that are in World War II. It's been said, and it's so true, that there's no atheist in foxholes. When the bullets get flying and the bombs start going off, everybody starts praying. Are you out there? Hallelujah. And this is called the Lord's Prayer, and a lot of people can quote this. Most Christians can actually quote this verbatim. There's songs that are sung on this prayer. But I want to look at it just briefly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because I want to get to some other verses. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. I love that. Now, everybody say manner. Okay, he said, after this manner or pattern. Now this prayer was just what was called an index prayer, an outline prayer. And in Jesus' time, there were a lot of rabbis. Now, Jesus was the ultimate rabbi, the teacher. And he had disciples, and a lot of other rabbis had disciples. So that wasn't unique. The unique part about Jesus was he was the Son of God. Are you with me? And he actually did miracles and healed the sick and raised the dead and died for our sins and rose again. That was unique. But it wasn't unique that he was a teacher. There's a lot of teachers, a lot of rabbis. And there were a lot of disciples of these rabbis, that of the school. You know, the students of Jesus were Jesus' people. They were Christians like us. And so when he said, after this manner prayer, after this pattern prayer, he gave them an index. In other words, cover these subjects. He wasn't saying necessarily pray it verbatim, which we do. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we quote it verbatim. But what he was talking about was cover these areas. You know, you ought to take time to worship God. In other words, acknowledge him first. In every prayer, you first acknowledge God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. He's not just there, but he also is listening. But he's not just listening. He also rewards us when we call. Hallelujah. Pays to pray. Amen. So you start out first, acknowledge God. You say, our Father. And think about it. Jesus is the one that emphasized this over and over and over. Here it is, Father's Day. Jesus emphasized God as our Father, not the man upstairs. Are you with me? The big guy, the great architect of the sky. No. He's our Father. He's our Father. Our God, well, yeah, he is God, but he's more than God. He's our Father. We are not just created by him. We were birthed by him. We were born again. He is our daddy, and we are his children. Of all the things that God made, the heavens, the earth, the stars, the sun, the moon that shines at night, every single creature, every flying creature, every crawling creature, every swimming creature, every plant and every tree, he is the creator of all those things. He never called himself the father of a bird or a bee or a moon up above. He is father of a thing called love. But anyway, I was thinking of the song, you know what I'm saying. He only claims to be the father of mankind. That's all. He's not the father of the monkeys. He's not the father of the buildings and the mountains and the trees and the valleys and the lakes and the rivers. You know, and the buffalo does roam and the sun does rise in the east and set in the west. Hallelujah. All that's true. But God's not the father of this earth. He's the father of us. Man fell. Now we've been welcomed back into the family through Jesus Christ. And now we come to God, and we don't say, oh God, oh God, oh God, although we may use the term God. We say, Father, Father, I come to you. Father, I come. Father, So he says that. He says, after this manner, pray this way. Our Father, which is in heaven. Keep that in front of you all the time. Don't ever forget God's your Father. And you are his child. You have a relationship with him. He's not just the judge. He's not just the moral governor of the universe. He's not just God, the creator. No. He is your Father, and you are his child. Here it is, Father's Day. We're talking about Father's Day. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thine. Holy is your name. We worship you and only you. That's good, isn't it? We worship the Lord. We worship this Father. And he goes on and says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is how we ought to pray. Because if you don't pray this way, it's not going to happen. Whoa. I didn't say that. Jesus is the one that said, you pray this way. Pray for God's will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. You notice he never asked you to pray for heaven. Never in the Bible do you ever see anybody ever asking you to pray for heaven or pray for something in heaven, pray for something to go on in heaven. Or, you know, I wonder about maybe loved ones that have gone on. You don't have to pray for them. They're doing just fine. Are you out there? We're the ones who need prayer. I've never been to a funeral when we needed to pray for the person that went on. There's nothing I can do. They're gone. And if they've gone on to heaven, they're in a much better place than we are.
Amen.
In fact, I heard it one time years ago at a funeral, and I've repeated it many times myself, that, you know, when I'm standing up and looking over the casket, that body that is there is just a body. It's just a shell, just a suit of clothes, just a vehicle they were in. They're not there. I often say this, that, you know, to the people that are out there that are hurting, that are grieving, that need prayer, that need comfort, you know, everybody needs to realize, and I always say it this way when I get an opportunity, this person right here, they're okay. They're in heaven. You don't have to worry about them. We're the ones that need prayer because we're still here, amen? We're the ones that need to some comfort and some strength. The family needs comfort and strength, and God gives that comfort, and he gives that strength. But don't you be grieving and crying and moaning and groaning for the person that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My goodness, they're in heaven. The battle is over. The victory is won. Hallelujah. Never another sick day. Never another a bad day. No blue Monday. No wrong side of the bed to get up on. Hallelujah. Don't have to go through presidential elections every 4 years.
Praise God.
Amen. Are you out there? So he's saying, well, you need to pray for that kind of peace, that kind of strength, that kind of comfort. You need to pray for that to be in the earth as it is in heaven. You need to pray God's will down here because it doesn't just happen. The earth, the things that go on the earth is not always God's will. But when you and I pray for God's will, it happens. Amen? In heaven, there's no devil in heaven, okay? There's no sin in heaven. There's no. So you don't have to worry about heaven. Heaven's fine. It's wonderful. There's no sickness up there. There's no death up there. Nothing wrong. There's no storms. Nothing going on up there. No. It's down here that we need prayer. It's down here. You don't need to keep praying for me when I go to heaven. In fact, you can just quit praying for me when I go to heaven. I'll never have another bad day. I'll never be out of money. I'll never be depressed. Never. No. Not in heaven. Because there, the will of God does rule supreme. But here, the world is fallen and broken, and it needs prayer.
Yeah.
Needs people like you and me, men and women who will stand up and believe God and petition heaven and bring people before the throne. Because we're living in a world where people are suffering and sighing and dying and crying, and you and I are sent to relieve that suffering and sighing, that dying, that crying, to love, to shine our lights, and to pray for one another that we may be healed. Amen? So he says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It already is in heaven, so we're not praying that. We're praying for it to be done in the earth as it already is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, because that's what God does. God gives and blesses and feeds and clothes and helps, and God's good. God's good. We don't ask God to take our food away. We don't ask God to burn our house down. We don't ask God to kill us, and don't ask God to destroy us and take our job away and make us depressed. You don't ask God for those kind of things. He didn't give those kind of things. He doesn't have those kinds of things. We call on God when those things happen to help us get out of those things, because those things are not God. The idea that he's doing that to teach us, he's doing that for some grander purpose. Oh, come on, that's not your father. Your father is who we're talking about here. Your father's who you run to when you need help. Your father is the one who cares about you when the enemy comes against you, see? Your father is the one that has your best interest in mind. Your father is the one that would do anything for you if you'd come to him. Amen? And when we pray to God, we're praying to our Father. And we pray like this: give us our day, this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, our debts and our sins, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation. Keep us out of that temptation. Hallelujah. God, give me strength to overcome. Amen? Think about it. God's not tempting you. He leads you out of temptation when you pray. When you pray. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Peter, James, and John, the disciples of Jesus, are all stirred up, you know, on all focus and concentrated. Jesus is praying, they fell asleep. And he said, could you not pray with me 1 hour? He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Meaning that if you just give up and lay down, this world will take over. Because we're in a battlefield and the bullets are flying and the enemy's not going to quit shooting just because you put your gun down. The idea that if we all just disarm ourselves, oh, don't get me started. Okay. No. You keep your weapons loaded. Are you with me? And you keep pulling the trigger. You keep praying. You keep believing. You keep standing. No, you can't lay down. You can't just quit. You know, it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what Paul says in Romans 8 chapter. And the law of sin and death is something that's just in the earth. It's here all the time. All the time. All the time. If I don't continually work against it, it's going to pull me down. If I don't fight the good fight of faith, I will lose by default. If I don't pray that I enter not temptation, I'll give in to temptation. Because the pull of it will pull me down. If I don't continually hold this up, my phone up, the law of gravity, if I let go, if I just stop and let go, gravity will pull it right back down. But as long as I am holding it up, gravity cannot pull it down, you see. And the world will pull you down if you don't fight it, if you don't continue to serve God, pray and love, go to church, are you with me, live holy, live right. When you stop and you slack off, the pull of the world will pull you right back down because it's always there, it's always there. Are you with me? But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And if I continue to serve God, I can continue to overcome. In fact, I overcome by my faith. Wow, I don't want to quit believing because I quit winning when I quit believing. Are you with me? I just quit winning. I start losing. And that's what God is telling us. He said, you just keep praying. You after this manner, you pray God's will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. You pray God gives you this day your daily bread. You look to him. Don't look to the government. No. Don't look to everybody and everything. You look to God to supply your needs. And don't ever forget where it comes from.
Amen.
Because no matter what's going on in the world, God's still your Father, and he'll take care of you if you trust him, if you call on him. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's good stuff, isn't it? So he says, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you forgive not your men, I missed a verse. He says, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And then he talks about living that way, living this out, forgiving people, loving people, and so on and so forth. But get the revelation of this is our Father we're talking about. Now he talks about that all through here. When you pray, pray in secret that your Father would see in secret, reward you openly. When you give your alms, don't make a big show about it, but just give in secret and your Father would see in secret, reward you openly. When you fast, you know, wash your face. Don't go around with a sign saying, I'm fasting, I'm spiritual, I'm holy. You know, don't do it to be seen of men, but your Father which sees in secret, he'll reward you openly. And then he goes on, he talks about, you know, why take ye thought for food and for clothes? And consider the sparrows. He says, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And clothes, as far as clothes, consider the lilies. Even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. And if God clothes the grass of the field, the flower of the field, which day is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? And then he goes on down in the, and I'm giving you a real nutshell synopsis because I have some more verses I want to get to. 25th verse. No, let's go down to 31st verse. 31st verse. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? How am I going to make it? Why would you not take thought for that, or worry and doubt and be fretful and anxious and make yourself miserable? I mean, what's the basis of not worrying? Well, the basis is this. 32nd verse. After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Put God first and he'll take care of you. You're putting the wrong thing first. You're worried about the wrong thing. You say, well, those things don't matter. No, they do matter, and your heavenly Father knows you have need of them. So serve him and he'll take care of you. He's your Father. Amen? And a father takes care of his own. You think I'd let my kids starve? You think I might let my grandkids starve? No, I'd have to lock the doors to keep them from starving. They come over the house anyway and go in there and just raid the refrigerator and everything else. Hello. But I mean, I wouldn't feed my grandkids. I wouldn't feed my kids. What are you talking about? Would I let them, if I have the ability and I have the wherewithal to do, I am not going to let them die. That is not going to happen. They'd have to get way away from me where I couldn't get to them to help them. Isn't that right? Now, there's a lot of people that are starving, a lot of people that are hurting that I'm not able to help, that I don't even know, that I have no relationship to. But I'm not going to let my children do that. And the Bible even says he that does not provide for his household is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. And the Bible even says be good to all men, but especially to the household of faith. We are family. Are you with me? And when it comes to God, ultimate family. He's our Father. We just got to get, we get far away from him. We don't call on him. That's why we get in a lot of the mess we get in. But if we'll call on him, we don't need to be worried and fretful and anxious about food and clothes and how we're going to make it and housing and so on and so forth. It says here the Gentiles seek after those things, and your Father knows you have need of those things. Need. You need them. He knows that. God's not against food and clothes, and he's not against you having a house. He actually knows you need it. But what he wants is your love and your trust. And if you'll seek him first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. They will be. Y'all see that? Well, look at the 7th chapter. Our Father. He's a good Father. Amen. He's a good God. Notice the 7th verse. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and the door be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And him that knocketh, the door will be open. Now, what man is there of you, if his son asked for bread, would he give him a stone? Well, let's think about it. Daddies, here it is, Father's Day. We're not just perfect like he is. You know, there's nobody like God. I mean, come on, we're doing the best we can, but we're all working on this thing. Work in progress, amen? Anybody, any daddy here need a little work? Yeah, I can work on some things. There's some things I can improve on. But even at my worst, wouldn't do this. Have one of my sons. Can you imagine Jonathan or Chris come up and say, Daddy, can I have a piece of bread? And I throw him a rock and say, hey, chew on that. Now, at my worst, I wouldn't do that. Hello. That'd be evil to do that, wouldn't it? And he says this. He says, 10th verse, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? No, I have an aversion to snakes. I don't like snakes. Are you with me? Now, they probably could eat it after I got a hold of it because I just kill snakes. That's all I do. People say, well, there's good ones and the bad ones. And I figure after I kill it, we'll find out whether it's good or bad. But I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't throw him a snake and say, here, chew on that if he asked for a fish. Now, notice what Jesus said in 11th verse. If you then being evil, and he's talking about fathers, because he says a son ask, if you come and a son ask, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, and I guess we do know what good is. You say, well, I don't know if I know or not. Well, Jesus believes you know, because he said you know. Are you with me? You getting it? He said you know. He said you know how to give good gifts. You know what good is. And you know what evil is. I'm not confused about evil and good. I know what good is. I know what evil is. Are you with me? I know what's wrong to give to my children. I know what's right to give to my children. And I'm not even God, and I know that. Okay. Now, if I know that, and I'm not even God, how much more does God know that? Y'all getting this? So a lot of things we say God's given us, you wouldn't give your son. Are you kidding me? You know better than that. How many of you lately have just broke your kid's leg on purpose because it did something wrong? Or anybody broken your kids? I don't want to show a hands. Please don't. Anybody lately just burned their playhouse down? Or anybody put sickness on them? Anybody done that lately? Hadn't done that? Or just blew up their bicycle or the tricycle? Put a bomb on it, just blew it up? You know that'd be evil to do that, wouldn't it? That would just be wrong. I mean, you know better than that. You know what it is to give good gifts to your children. Okay? Now think about it. We just gone through that fifth chapter. Well, I didn't go through it, but if you took this in context, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, the fifth chapter, the sixth chapter, the seventh chapter, and all through there he's talking about being good, blessing those that curse you. He's talking about, you know, God taking care of you. Just call on him, he'll make sure you eat. He takes care of sparrows. He takes care of the grass of the field. He knows what the Gentiles need. If you'll just call on him, he'll take care of you. If you ask, you receive. If you seek, you find. Look, you know how to give good gifts to your kids. You know how to take care of your children. How much more does your Heavenly Father take care of you and know how to give good gifts to those that ask him? And all that stuff we're saying God does, he doesn't do that kind of stuff. You wouldn't do that kind of stuff. And if you wouldn't do it, God won't do it. How much more does God know how to give good gifts? Woo! Am I the only one excited here this morning? God loves you. He's for you. You know what happens when bad things take place? You know what needs to happen when bad things? We need to run to God. That's what we need to do. We need to run to our daddy and say, hey, I need some help. Father, help me. Hallelujah. Father, I'm coming to you. I'm asking you. Coming. He didn't do that to you. He's the one that gets you out of those messes and helps you in time of need and time of trouble. He's the one that gives the good gifts, not the bad gifts. I know what a bad gift is, and I know what a good gift is. Hello. Man, could that be any plainer? Father, Father, Father. What kind of father are we talking about? A better father than you ever had on this earth. And I hope you had a good one. But God's a better father than you ever had down here. The best father you could ever have in this earth wouldn't hold a candle to the father that you have in heaven. Wow. So, 11th verse. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Oh, wow. Most of what happens in life to us, we didn't ask for it. It just happened. Well, God gives things to people that ask him. Anybody ever asked for a car wreck? Just happened, didn't it? See, to me, that's one indicator that it must not have been God, because nobody prayed for that. Nobody asked for that. In fact, you don't even have to be a Christian to have that stuff happen to you. That stuff happens to everybody, doesn't it? That's the world that we live in. It's a messed up world. It's an evil world. It's a dark world. And we're lights in this dark world. And we're here to make a difference. And we're here to pray for one another. We're here to bring the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is not evident except through us, the church, believers. Amen. And a lot of stuff just happens, random stuff that happens because of the world that we live in. Nobody ever asked for cancer. Nobody ever asked for a car wreck. Nobody asked for kids to die and houses to be burnt down. Are you with me? Nobody wants that to happen. It just happens. It happens without praying. It happens without faith. It happens without calling on God. The things that God does, he does as people call on him. And then out of his mercy, he keeps us alive, yes. But healing comes to those that pray. Are you out there? See? You ask God, and God knows how to give good gifts to those that ask him, no doubt about it. And that's what he's asking us to do, is to ask him. You know, I was thinking along these lines of good things and evil things. And turn over to Luke 16. Luke 16. Is this helping anybody? Wow, y'all need to show your face. Tell your face, I mean, because I need to see some more action here. Y'all come on, laugh, cry, do something. Oh me, oh my. If this were a football game, y'all would be screaming and hollering if we were going across the goal line, wouldn't we? Especially if the Cowboys made the touchdown, that'd be awesome. I'm believing that's going to happen this year, but anyway, no, they've done good. How about those Rangers, huh? Anybody watch baseball? Get a little excited, huh, when they start winning? Come on, hit a home run. I was listening to Brother Osteen on the internet yesterday. Brother Osteen, you can still get some of his teaching on the internet. He's going to be with the Lord, but he's still preaching to me. And he was talking about baseball and football, and he said, come on, we can't get excited in church. We can't get excited about these eternal truths. We can't get excited about health and life and forgiveness and miracles and signs and wonders. He said, you go out there in a football field and they got a piece of pig skin with air in it and gets across a goal line and everybody goes crazy. He said, listen, we're not offering you pig skin with air in it. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about health. We're talking about joy. We're talking about real miracles. Can't we get excited about this? You want to go shout and holler and scream about pig skin with air in it? I thought that's so true, though, isn't it? I mean, it really is. You ever watching a game and you really get into it? We all get excited. I do the same thing. But here we are in church. This is the most exciting thing I'll ever have. This is eternal what's happening here. Amen. This will change your marriage, your life, your kids, your business. Come on, man. I mean, when the doctor says you're going to die, you can live, praise God, with this kind of truth. Oh, praise God. This ought to get us excited. You remember this case, Luke 16, where the poor man Lazarus went to hell and the rich man went to hell. But Lazarus went to a good part of hell and the rich man went to a bad part of hell. There are compartments in hell, you know. There was a place that's hot and there was a place that was like a holding tank, like a county jail. There was a good place that people were waiting for Jesus to come first. And after Jesus came, now we all go to heaven. But before Jesus rose from the dead, all the saints went to a place called paradise. Remember on the cross, Jesus looked at the thief and he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Well, Jesus didn't go to heaven when he died. He went to hell. But there was a good place there called Abraham's bosom. That's what he's talking about here. Abraham was there. All the saints were there. A lot of times the Catholics today call it purgatory, but really, biblically that thing's empty now. Now when you die, you go straight to heaven. Stephen was stoned and says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Are you with me? So now you go straight there. But there was a place that the saints went waiting for Jesus, because no one could go to heaven until Jesus opened up the gate and opened up the door. He came out of hell with the keys of hell and death. Remember that? Revelation 1st chapter says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. So now when you die, you go to heaven. Amen. See, because he's got the keys of hell and death now. But before then, he didn't. See, we're talking about the world being messed up. Well, the devil even had the keys of hell. And he held the souls of everybody that died. But he can't hold my soul no more. Amen. No, my soul goes to heaven now. Because Jesus rose from the dead. But here they were in a good place. And the rich man is saying, oh, I'm tormented in here, this flame. Could you send Lazarus down here? Lazarus was a beggar, homeless, shelterless, foodless, clothless. He didn't have anything. Had a terrible life. And he begged at the gates of this rich man. And this rich man just fed him scraps from dogs to eat and so on and so forth. And this rich man had all kinds of luxurious things and buildings and clothes and houses and food and so on and so forth. And Abraham tells this man as he's crying out for help, 25th verse, he said, son, don't you remember that in your lifetime you received good things? And likewise, Lazarus, evil things? Now he's comforted and you are tormented. Now a lot of preachers taking this and say, well, now you're going to be suffering down here so you can, the more you suffer down here, the better you're going to have it up in heaven. That's not what he's saying at all. Not at all. In fact, he didn't tell the rich man that what he had was evil. He said what Lazarus had was evil and what the rich man had was good. The problem was the man that had the good things didn't use it right. But God never wanted Lazarus to have these evil things. He never wanted him to be homeless and clothless and foodless. Are you with me? He didn't want that. In fact, that was part of being in this world. This world's evil. Here's this rich man was blessed with good things. He didn't say they were bad things. God himself, Jesus is the one that said this. He said they were good things. Just like we read over in the 6th chapter of Matthew. He talked about what good things were, clothes and food and all those things are good. Nothing wrong with having things as long as they don't have you. Amen? As long as they don't have you. In fact, God wants you to have food and clothes and houses. God wants to bless you, but he wants to make a blessing out of you. He doesn't want you to be like this man who just held on to all of it and didn't help anybody. But the answer to that is not just do without everything. No, God wants to take care of you, and he wants you to have a good home, and he wants you to have clothes, and he wants you to have food. God does not want you to starve. How many daddies we got in here? Okay, think about it. How many of your kids do you want to starve? None. How many do you want to have no clothes? No, come on. Maybe you got some girls you wish they had a few less shoes, but I mean, come on, you don't want them to be shoeless. I'm not pointing any fingers. So what was good? The things that this rich man had were good things. What was wrong was the man, not the things. The things that Lazarus had were evil things. Wow. Y'all see that? So God's not making you sick, and God's not taking your food away, and God's not making you taking your clothes away and your house away. No, are you kidding? That's evil. Those are evil. And God knows how to give good things. He knows what good things are, and he knows what evil things are. Yeah. Y'all out there? Turn to 3 John. I'm going to let you out here in just a minute. I got a couple more places I want to go to. 3 John. It's just one chapter, 3 John. You know 3 John 2. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you'd prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God wants you to prosper. Amen?
Yes.
Now, notice the 11th verse. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Now, we know that would be doing evil things, but also just, goodness gracious, the idea that God wants people poor and not have anything and not eat and starve to death, that's evil too. Do you know that? We just read that. That's evil. In fact, we just read over in the 6th chapter where God said he'd do those things for you, give you clothes and give you food. So God doesn't want you to do that. That's not God doing that to you. It says, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Why would we follow that which is good? Because he that does good is of God. Because God doesn't do evil. Next part of the verse. But he that does evil hath not seen God. That's interesting, because if I were to go do evil, I were to go steal from someone, take their money away, take their clothes away, take their house away, burn their house down, kill them or their kids, or do whatever, do something evil to them, that wouldn't be God, and I sure hadn't seen God, because if I had seen God, I'd know he'd never do something like that. Y'all catching it? Because no man ever did that, ever saw God do that. This is better preaching, y'all are amening. He that does evil has not seen God. What did Jesus say? I only do the things I see my Father do. And he never saw God do those things. So God's not doing those things to you. And no man doing those things has ever seen God do those things. They hadn't seen God if they're doing evil, because God doesn't do evil. He that does good, well, he's of God. Amen? Because that's what God does. James 1st chapter, and I'll wrap this up. Woo! Hallelujah. That's good preaching. Glory to God. Man, I'm glad I came. Amen. Oh, preach on. Preach on. Preach. Don't hang up now. Okay. James 1:13. We're talking about your father. Amen. My father, our father, which is in heaven, our good father, who knows how much more does he know how to give good things to them that ask him. Hallelujah. You're hurting. You need to call on God to help you. Amen. You're in need. Call on God to bless you. Praise God. You know somebody else in need, you need to be helping them and blessing them. Amen. Doing good. 13th verse, 1st chapter, James. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempteth he any man. No, actually, we pray to God to deliver us from temptation, right? He doesn't tempt us. Well, the Lord's tempting me. What? God's not tempting you. God doesn't tempt. Let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God, for God tempteth no man. Neither can he be tempted with evil. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. That's where destruction and all that pain and misery comes from. It comes from sin. Sin entered the world through Adam. By one man, sin entered the world, and then death by sin. That's where death came from, destruction came from, sickness came from. It came goes all the way back to Adam, and it goes all the way back to Satan when he entered the world. Then when lust is conceived, 15th verse, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Be like a diamond glistening in the light, if it were possible to get light from all sides. If you turned it any way you turn it, there would be no shadow in it. It would always be the same. God is always good, and you cannot make him bad. He's not bad. There's no bad side to him. There's no dark side to God. There's no evil side to God. God is good. And every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from heaven. It doesn't come from the earth. It comes down from heaven. Oh, my, this is so good. This is, if y'all just get a hold of this. See, good comes from God. God is in heaven. Good comes from heaven. We need to pray that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's never been one good thing that comes from this earth. Every good thing comes from God. Yeah. And we need to infiltrate the earth with the will of God through prayer, through faith. Hallelujah. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Well, how does it come down? It comes down as you pray. It comes down as we pray God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It comes down as we ask, and everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, the door is open. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time.
God is good.
Amen. And that's your father we're talking about. Amen. That's my father. Hallelujah. And my father loves me. My father's for me. My father, I believe my father many times is proud of me. He tells me all the time. I get a little glory bowl every once in a while when I do something good. I know he likes it. He likes it when I do good. Amen. He's grieved when I don't, and I have to repent, and I do. I repent. I ask God to forgive me. You know what? Just takes him back in, pats me on the head. It's okay, son. Now, we got over that. Let's get back on our feet, and let's get out there and get it. I think he's pleased with every little effort I make, even when it's imperfect. I've got kids. You know, I got lots of kids. I got lots of grandkids. I remember every one of them. I remember when they first started walking. And they'd walk two steps and fall flat on their face. And I mean, we were telling everybody, they're walking, they're walking. All they did was take two steps and fell down. But to my mind, they gave it the best shot. They're already started, they're walking, hallelujah. That's the way God is. If you just make the effort, you don't have to be perfect. You just got to get out there and do it. Just, you'll get better at it. But know this, God, your Father, he's so pleased with every little accomplishment in your life. That person you finally forgave, wow. that anger you finally got over or whatever, or you're working on getting over, I'll tell you what, he's happy. He's pleased. He is pleased. He loves you. He's your daddy. He's your father. He's not just God. He's not just the creator. You're his child. Man, that's good stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, stand up. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Happy Father's Day. Amen. Hallelujah. I preach myself happy. I know that. Praise God.